So today, we want to talk about love. Now, you may have heard the song, "What is love?" Okay, that's why I don't sing. They put me in the drum cage for a reason. I can admit it. Hey, I'm not a singer, but it's all good. And so we're going to talk about what is love just for a second, and then we're going to kind of jump into what the Bible says. Amen. I promise I will not do that again, because I know that was hurtful to your eardrums. Nonetheless, our chapter this morning is, by the way, my wife is, she's out of town, and she's getting some well-needed rest and recuperation. It's mainly exhausting sometimes being in ministry, and just for her and the girls to get away is some much-needed rest for her. So keep her in your prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 13 is our passage for today. Now, every year around this time, Valentine's was yesterday, we're reminded, oh, yeah, I got to do something nice for my spouse, right? I got to do something good. I got to show her that I love her some kind of way. I got to buy her some special gift or some chocolate or something that would be meaningful to her. Or maybe, oh, yeah, I got to spend some time with my wife. Hey, honey, you want to go do something, right? So it's like the one time a year we're reminded to do something good for your spouse. But is that love? You know, like when you just like, hey, it's that time of year again, I get to express my love to you. No, that's not love. And so we're going to look at what a biblical definition of love is. What a terrible relationship that would be, right, if we only did good things towards each other around Valentine's Day. Like, oh, well, it's that time of year again. I get to express my love to you. The rest of the year, I'm going to treat you like garbage. But, you know, this day of the year, I'm going to treat you like a queen. You're my queen. Amen? That would be terrible. That's not love. So we're going to look at the Bible, what the Bible says about love. Did you know, like in the New Testament scriptures, that they use four different forms of the word love? And the first one you may be familiar with, and you may have heard it before, is called agape love. And this agape love is unconditional, it's sacrificial type of love. And we see this throughout the Bible. In fact, today's message will be on agape love. This is the love that we are focusing on. And this love is the highest form in the New Testament. We see it most illustrated in God himself whenever he sends his son Jesus to the cross. Sacrificial. It costs God everything by sending his son to die in the place of our sins. Agape love. It's the highest form of love. Then there's another type of love mentioned in the New Testament. It's phileo. Phileo love. This is a brotherly or affectionate love. So you have friendships. We see a good example of this in John 11:3. And in this moment, this is when Lazarus was sick. He was ill. He was about to die. And they send word to Jesus. Hey, look, your friend Lazarus is about to die. It's your person whom you really, you know, like a good friend. So like this phileo love is referring to a good friend. And we even see in that story that Jesus was moved with compassion. He began to cry. It says that Jesus wept in that particular instance because he felt that sting of death. He felt what that was like. And so it says that Jesus wept. And then we look at the next type of love, which is storge type of love. And I probably didn't say that exactly correct, but it's a family love. And so the love that I have towards my kids is a different kind of love that I have towards someone else. I mean, it's like a special bond that you have, like with your kids and with your children. You have memories together. You share life. You do life together. And so there's this really deep connection that takes place in a family setting. And we see that is a storge type of love. And then probably the most favorite, or maybe the young people's favorite in this place, the eros. It's romantic or passionate love. Do you know that God is the author of romantic and passionate love? That comes from God, that it's not a taboo, but yet God establishes it. And if you want to see it in its full color, then go to the book of Song of Solomon, right? And it's a very passionate book between a man and his wife, or a man and a woman. And it's just incredible that how God has placed this love on the inside of us, where we can love a human being in that way. So that's kind of a biblical definition of love, of the word love. The first point I want to bring out is that love is essential. Did you know that we need love? And we need love above all else, above all things. In fact, the title of this sermon is "The Greatest of These is Love." Love is essential. And so without love, our spiritual gifts are just noise. In fact, we're going to see that in the scriptures. Let's look at the scriptures now. Now that we have a biblical background for all of this. In the first verse, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, you may be wondering, what is the tongues of men and the tongues of angels? When in the book of Acts, we see that there is a moment whenever the Holy Spirit fell upon them, that they began to speak in tongues. And in that moment, the tongues was for all those who had gathered in Jerusalem. There were many people gathered from all different languages, many different people, many different nations, and they were all gathered in Jerusalem. And they heard in their own language the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed to them from these people who were in the upper room. Now, That is a spiritual gift, right? This was not a learned language. It was a spiritual gift. It was given to them by the Spirit of God. But what the writer Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, he says, even if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, thankfully for you guys, I have not a gong, but a cymbal. And whenever I'm playing, in a worship set, it can make a very nice sound, and it can, add accents to certain parts of the song. However, if I'm to illustrate this the way that Paul is wanting to illustrate this, it probably sound more. You might want to hold your ears. You might want to cover your ears because this is about to be loud and obnoxious, all right? If I'm going to illustrate this the way that Paul would illustrate this, it might sound something like this. Not very pleasant, right? Not very pleasant. So he says, look, you can have all the spiritual gifts in the world, but if you don't have love, that's what it sounds like. That's what your gifts sound like. Because it's not done in a loving way. I promise, I will not do that again. I'm sorry, front row right here, who are trying to set the example in godliness and speech and everything else. I'm sorry, I'm sure that was hard to bear. But nonetheless, it was essential, because love is essential. Amen. We have to have love in all that we do. Even whenever I correct my kids, guess what? I do it in love. I do it because I don't want them to turn out like a bunch of hoodlums, for one. And so I love them. Right, and so I will correct them just as the Lord loves us and He corrects us. I'm going to do so, but I'm going to do it in love. Everything that we do needs to be done in love. And so without love, our spiritual gifts are just a bunch of noise. Without love, our faith doesn't mean anything. We see that in the next verse. It says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Now, this is an incredible statement. He says, I can have as much faith to speak to a mountain, and that mountain moves into the sea, but if I don't have love, it's all meaningless. Wow. So putting the focus and the main focus on love, even over faith, even over a faith that's great to move mountains. Have you ever moved a mountain with your faith? So this is the kind of level of faith that we're talking about. He says, look, even in that, it's nothing if you do not have love. Without love, great sacrifice gains nothing. He goes on to say, he says, if I give away all that I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You may think, well, isn't that an act of love if you were to give away everything? But here's the thing. God looks at the heart. How many people do you know? You can go on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, TikTok, and see, hey, look, this is what I gave away. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. This is what I gave away. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. This is what I did. So that's one wrong motive of giving, is to have the attention brought to you to paint yourself as a person who has it all together, who's much holier than anyone else, right? And so that motive is not of God. And so though you gave everything away, it didn't matter because you didn't do it out of love. It didn't matter. You know, or maybe some people give because they think they can earn their spot in heaven. You know, if I just give enough, then maybe the Lord will like me and the Lord will let me in whenever he says, you know, whenever it's time to go. I can maybe buy my way into heaven. That doesn't work either, you know. So we cannot give enough to earn our spot. So again, looking back at the scripture, if I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned. Now, what an interesting thing, because what was going on around this time, well, after Paul's writing, was there was a tremendous amount of persecution on the church. And so this, whenever Paul would say this has some weight to it. I mean, in Nero's day, Christians were being impaled and lit on fire and used as human torches. Paul says, look, even if I do that, even if my body is burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Wow. He goes on. He says in verse 4, he says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And we're going to kind of stop right there, because my next point is this, that love displays godly characteristics. And if you have your bulletin, on the inside of your bulletin is a bulletin insert. On the back side of your insert is a worksheet. You might have thought you were done with school and done with taking tests, but you are wrong. We're going to take a little test this morning. We're going to take a love test. Are you guys ready? All right, so I have, if you need an ink pen, I have some ink pens right here. I'm going to ask, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Pastor Lynn. If you need a pen, just raise your hand, and we're going to fill this out right quick. We're going to go through this, and we're going to see, where is our love? Where is our love? And so the Bible gives some, the Bible describes love. He says, this is what love is. And then he says, this is what love is not. What love is patient. If you're not sure what patience is, love, it endures without quitting. You're patient. Love is kind. It shows compassion and grace. Love bears all things. It protects and supports. It believes all things. It chooses trust. It hopes all things. It looks forward with confidence. It endures all things. It stays faithful under pressure. What love is not, it's not envious or jealous. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant, not prideful. It's not disrespectful. It doesn't insist on its way. It's not easily angered, and doesn't keep any records of wrong. Amen. So what we have is a love self-assessment workout, and we're going to kind of go through this. And so on a scale of 1 to 5, we're going to rate your love, all right? You're going to rate your own love. And if you get stuck on one, and if you're married, just look at your spouse and ask her for her help, or ask him for his help, and he will or she will gladly, you know, help you with that question that you are stuck on, because we are believers and we love each other and we will help each other, right? And so anyway, if you get stuck, ask them, and they will definitely let you know. You might think you're a 1 when you really, or you might think you're a 5, and really you're a 1. All right, so we're going to go into this, and then we're going to kind of grade ourselves afterwards. 1 is rarely true of me. And so if you're answering 1, it's like, yeah, that's rarely true of me. I don't ever do that. But if you're a 5, you're like, that's constantly me. I'm pretty consistent in that. All right, so let's begin. And so you're going to put a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 in the blank. And then we're going to grade ourselves out there. It says, I am patient. The first one, I am patient with difficult people and situations. And then we could put this to the test by letting you sit in traffic, Mardi Gras traffic. How would you answer that? You know, in this season, I am patient with difficult people and situations. 1 through 5. I act with kindness, compassion, and grace towards others. Do you always do that? Are you consistent in doing that? Or do you very rarely do that? I'm like, yeah, I don't really like people that much. I'm not really compassionate. Number 3, I support and protect others when they are weak or struggling. How well do you do that? 1 through 5. Number 4, I choose to trust others rather than assume the worst. Are you a skeptic when someone tells you something? You're like, yeah, I don't really believe you. Or are you willing to take them at their word? Right? So I choose to trust others rather than assume the worst. 5, I maintain hope and confidence in God's work in people. Like you're hoping, you're believing that, hey, God has them. God's working in their life. I trust God that he is doing something. How well do you do that? And 6 of the positive, the last one, the positive characteristics of love. I remain steadfast and faithful even in trials or pressure. I remain steadfast and faithful even in trials or pressure. So now what you're going to do is you have 1 through 6 answered. You've given a number. You're going to add up all those numbers, all right? Go ahead and add up that whole entire list right there of what we just did, and you're going to write that where it says positive subtotal, okay? Y'all thought y'all were done with school. Y'all not done with school. And we're halfway through. So you made it. You made it halfway. We're almost there. All right? So you go ahead and add that up and give you guys a moment to do that. And write that in your positive subtotal. So the most you could have got was 30 points. And so you're looking at your number. Hopefully you're somewhere close to that, right? That's between you and God. I don't need to know. If you want to show people, you could. If you don't necessarily have to either. Moving right along. What love is not? Some of the negative characteristics. I'm going to read those again. That way we have the scripture part of it. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. Wrong scripture. Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. What love is not? 7, I am not jealous of others' blessings or success. I am not jealous of others' blessings or success. Fill in the blank. I do not boast or seek recognition for myself. I do not boast or seek recognition for myself. And if you get stuck right there, ask your spouse. I am humble and not inflated with self-importance. I am humble and not inflated with self-importance. I treat others with respect and honor. All right, 1 through 5. I am willing to yield and not insist on my own way. All right. 12, I am slow to anger and not easily irritated. 13, I forgive others and I do not keep a record of wrong. Wow, that is such a big one right there, church. That is a big one. 13. And so answer that one as honestly as you possibly can. Now, let's go ahead and add those up, all right? This last column, what love is not. Add them up. And then once you add all of them up, you want to add that also to your positives, okay? I know we're doing a lot of adding, a lot of writing, a lot of reading. It's all good. We're going to get through this. Now here's the moment of truth. Here's the moment of truth. After you've added all that up, let's see where your love is, all right? Let's rate your love. So if you scored anywhere between 55 and 65, strong expression of love in your daily life. Good for you. We commend you guys. You guys are on the right path. You're doing well. If you're somewhere in the range of 45 to 54, you're growing but need some attention in some areas. Your love is growing, but you need some attention in some areas. And that's fine, too. We can work with that. If you're in somewhere between 30 and 44, inconsistent and intentional growth is needed. All right, so inconsistent and intentional growth is needed. And if you're somewhere between 30 and below, We have the altars open for you at the end of service, and we'll just pray for you. Major areas of love need development, all right? We still love you with the unconditional love as God loves you, and I hope you enjoyed a little exercise on how to rate your love. Now, back to the sermon. Amen. So the last part of this is love is eternal. Amen. Love is eternal. Let's look back at the scriptures where it says in verse 8, it says, love never ends. Love never ends. It never ends. It is, you know why love never ends? Because God never ends. And the scriptures say that God is love. Look at it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So the reason why love is eternal and everything else is not is because God is eternal. Like even over the spiritual gifts, it goes on to say that in verse 8, looking at it, it says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. Let's just stop and think about that. So as for prophecies, they will pass away. We think about the Old Testament prophets. You had Isaiah and Ezekiel all describing the throne of God. This was something that was to come. So in their day and age, they didn't see it, but it was something that was foretold about. It was going to happen. But whenever we are in the kingdom, guess what? We are looking at God. We're not going to need a prophet to tell us that God is coming, because he is right there. Amen. So it says that prophecies will no longer be. It says they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease as well. We're going to have this heavenly language, and we're going to understand one another. I'm not sure what that's going to be like, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And so even it says tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. All right. So all these different gifts that were foretold about, it says that they will come to an end. And the reason that is the gifts were given to build up the church right now in this particular day and age. They were meant to edify the body of Christ. They were meant to give you the boldness to go out and make more disciples. They were meant to equip the church. But if we're standing in front of the glory of God, if we are beholding things that we are just longing and aspiring to right now in this day and age, we're not going to need tongues, and we're not going to need prophecies. We will be before the throne of the living God. Amen? And so all these things will not be needed, but one thing will remain: love. Because God is love, and God is eternal. You know that this will blow your mind if you begin to think about it, that God never had a beginning. God never had a beginning. Boom, mind blown, right? He never had a beginning, and he never has an end. Think about a trillion years ago, God. Think about a number bigger than that I can't think of right now, God. Amen? He was there. He was there before the beginning had a beginning, and he will continue to be there even after this earth is gone. Amen? God will remain. Love will remain. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will fade away. They will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So everything that we know in part right now, we know little bits of God. We know little glimpses of God. We know what he has revealed through his word. But one day, all of that will pass away, and we will see him for who he is. We will see his fullness. We will be in his presence. Amen? And that is the day that we are truly longing for. So to conclude this message, to recap on what we talked about the different, what love is. We talked about the agape love, how it's a sacrificial type of love. I encourage you, would you be willing to engage in agape love this week? And what does that look like for you? Maybe you looked at that list and you're like, you know what? There's some work that needs to be done in my life. And I'm glad that you said it, because I didn't say it, right? Because I did enough correcting already this morning. All right, so You looked at that list and you said, you know what, God, there are some areas, there are some things, you know, that I need to address, that I need to work on. What is one thing, one practical thing that you can do this week, you know, to improve on your love? Amen. And so we talked about what is love. We said that love is essential, that love is more needed than the spiritual gifts. If we don't have love, then what do we have? Love displays godly characteristics. We are trying to be more and more like Christ each and every day. We are trying to exemplify Christ's love in our lives, in our workplace, in our surroundings. We are trying to do that to the best of our abilities. And love is eternal. Love will never end. Amen. And though things of this earth, it will come to an end, love will remain. So what is one practical step that you can do this week to grow in your love? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you, Lord, for your people. God, we thank you for your love, your sacrificial agape love towards us, where you constantly give, God. You're the giver. Lord, we are the recipients of your love. Lord, you're steadfast. You're long-suffering with us. You're patient with us. You're kind towards us. Everything that we are, God, is because of you. Lord, all the good, any good that's in us, God, it is because of you. Lord, it is because of your love that we are changed and that we are transformed. Lord, I pray that same love that has brought us to salvation, it is your kindness that leads us to salvation, that same love will be the motivator and the driver to help us to walk in love this week towards one another. So, God, in the areas in which we lack, in the areas in which we can use some work, Lord, it's not about self-help. It's not about changing ourselves, but it's about you radically changing us. And so we ask that you would do that in our lives this week, that you would radically change the way that we love. And so we love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place, and let God's people say amen and amen. Amen. We love you guys, and we hope that you guys have a great week.